Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast. Whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until you run out of clean socks. So basically, if you've noticed, I'm changing this line of until as a small game I've been playing since the podcast started. And I have to say that I'm running out of lines. So if any of you have any ideas of new lines, that would be very helpful if you put it in the comments and will save me a lot of time. I'm actually spending more time on this than actually preparing for the episode. So my regards this time from Kiev, where I am recording on the banks of the Dnieper River. And I'm starting to like Kiev a lot more. It has an exact mix of what I need, which is basically co-working, a little bit of social life, and most importantly, a nice place in the nature by the river where I stay, 10 meters from the river. And swimming is really great. So for me, swimming and swimming by the river is a new experience that I didn't really know that exists. And I'm exploring it at least 3 times a week. And it's pretty fun. So Kiev in general, just as a quick recommendation, is a very interesting destination for you digital nomads. It has all the infrastructure that a modern city needs to have. It also has extremely low cost of living. I think it's probably the best value country, the Ukraine in general, that you can find currently on the planet or among the best. Just as a reference, the dollar was 1 to 8 with the local currency, and now it's 1 to 26. So that's more than 3 times the valuation in the last 2 years, which makes it crazy cheap for those of you who actually have dollars or make money in dollars. On the same time, it makes it very, very difficult for the locals. So for example, if you are a local that used to earn in local currency $2,000 2 years ago and used to travel a lot, and I have friends like this, you're now making around $500 for doing the same job exactly, which makes everyone a little bit frustrated. And the atmosphere is a little bit difficult in general. Yesterday was Independence Day in Kiev, and we went celebrating in Maidan, the main square of Kiev, where all the revolution take place. So very, very interesting, very fun, and also a little bit tense. Like, you can really feel the tension that there is between populations and with the economy as well. But with all the bad publicity and the war that is currently still going on, you should probably know that most of the Ukraine is totally safe and very good to travel with very good value, as we mentioned. So that was my geopolitical brief on Kiev and the Ukraine. And today we're gonna discuss an interesting topic, which is very relevant for digital nomads and long-term travelers, which is the topic of learning languages as you travel and stay in a place for a long time. So I hope you enjoy it and find it useful. So the topic for today is learning languages while traveling for digital nomads. So the idea is as following in the topic of languages and traveling, especially if you're working while traveling. Fitting in a language learning process in your daily schedule is not easy, for sure, and it requires a lot of time. Learning a language is a big task, maybe even one of the biggest tasks we take in life, if you take it seriously. However, the benefits of knowing a new language are way too big to not even consider doing that and learning a new language. So over this episode, we will basically introduce the benefits of what are the good things that will happen to you if you learn a new language. We'll also discuss a few general tips for learning a language while traveling. I will also touch the topic of how to decide which language should you study, which is a big decision. And then a little bit of tips on how to get started while you travel, and also how to keep in touch with the language after you have continued your travels and left the destination where the language is spoken. So it should be said that traveling to a place, and this is the nice thing and connection between the travel and the language part, creates some kind of urgency because, you know, let's say you're in a place and you want to study a new language, you're probably not going to have a lot of motivation to do it. But if you're traveling to a new place, there's a lot of motivation, especially before you arrive and also while you're staying there, because the benefits are huge as you stay in a place where the language is spoken. So that has to be said. This creates a lot of urgency, motivation that is required if you want to fit a gigantic task or skill in your daily schedule. So a quick introduction about the language that I speak. My native language is Hebrew. I speak relatively good English, although you can notice the Israeli accent and the lack of vocabulary, but you know, what can you do? My Spanish is fluent. I lived in South America for 2 years and actually speak a lot of Spanish during the day, and I'll discuss this as well. My Arabic is pretty okay, and I'm doing a private lesson in Arabic every week just to maintain it. And now I'm working on my Russian while I'm in Kiev. And I also started when I was in Belarus and find it very challenging but interesting. And one day I hope to keep to go back to studying Chinese, which is something I've done when I stayed 2 months in China. So as you can see, I'm kind of a language freak. I really love practicing and learning new languages. For some reason, they fascinate me. And I think that a lot of this has to do with understanding how deep the benefits are of knowing a new language. I have to say that personally, on a personal level and a business level, my main business and my main activity in life is my online language school. I have an online language school called lingolearn.com. Basically, it's a school where we or you can learn more than 20 languages with a private tutor in a virtual classroom. So it's kind of a serious solution that I really enjoy working on, and maybe you can check it out. Okay, so let's start with the first, section of this episode, which is basically what are the benefits of learning a new language? Okay, so let's start with the first one. The first one is the biggest one, and it's the most intuitive one. You're gonna have a lot more high quality human interaction, and social life is going to be better. Even if you don't have a deep understanding of a language, with people you can't really communicate with in other language as you travel. So needless to say, a lot of the people you're going to meet will not know either your language or English as a common language. That's life. And usually it's the most interesting people out there. You know, for example, it could be the older population that doesn't speak English but are extremely wise with a lot of things to say. It could be the regular people that are not that much tech savvy. And you're going to meet those people while traveling all the time. So the idea over here is that if you know the language, you're going to be able to communicate even on a basic level with people that otherwise you're simply going to have to not speaking with. And by the way, it's going to allow you to connect a little bit more with locals and not with tourists. Because one of the reasons that we, sometimes as we move between locations, we try to connect with tourists is simply because connecting with locals is impossible because of language gaps. So over here, by knowing a language, you're going to have a little bit of an ability to diversify your contacts and your social circle. The second benefit of knowing a language, especially if you know it very well, is that it allows you to have deep interactions with people that will not be possible to have if you don't know the language, or you only have a shallow understanding or basic understanding of the language. So needless to say, some of the most amazing people that I've met, and now I'm speaking specifically in South America, like the best friends that I have there, if I would not speak Spanish fluently, they would probably not be good friends, because there is a limit to how well you can communicate and how well you can connect to a person if you don't know their language well. So this is a huge benefit that knowing a language above the basic level will allow you. It's priceless. It's really priceless, because some of the people you're going to meet are going to make a big change in your life. And without speaking their language, this thing would probably not be possible. Let's go over to a few materialistic benefits. So if you know a language, by definition, when you travel, you're going to spend less money and you're going to waste less time. Why is that? Because basically knowing a language allows you to be a savvy traveler. You're going to make a lot less mistakes while booking transportation, accommodation, getting from one place to another, you know, general activities during the day. It will simply be a lot easier and you're going to save money and time. Now, that will also mean that you're going to be happier, because as we discussed before, you can have more interaction, but also, you know, when you save money and time and people understand what you want to say, then by definition, you're happier. You're going to feel more in charge. You're going to feel more independent. You're going to have more flexibility to do the things that you want to do because you know the local language. And you're going to be less frustrated, because a lot of the bad moments that we have while interacting with other people is simply due to bad communication. So, for example, discussions about price and so on and so on, and making friends will simply allow you to be in a situation that you're less frustrated in general while going on with your daily activities if you know the language. Now, you should take into account that this is really going to save you money, which means that the cost of learning a language might be worthwhile and actually get back to you with money as well, which means that you might even save money by spending money on learning a language while you travel. So one more benefit would be you can find a lot more options for exciting new activities. So if you don't know the language, you're probably going to have to do the regular stuff and the tourists usually do. If you know the language, you can feel a little bit like a local and also tap into the possibilities that locals have as they live their life. So, you know, for example, a lot of good things happened to me by reading Groupon in Spanish while I was in Barcelona or South America, and even looking at local ads on billboards. So your possibilities are greatly enriched when you know a language. You can really tap into things that only locals usually tap into. So that's one more consideration. And the other thing, or the other benefit, it, knowing a language helps you to get out of trouble quickly, because you look less like a tourist. And if something happens, you can actually react to it very, very fast and utilize all the resources you have around you, because you can actually communicate with people. So knowing a local language can get you out of trouble, giving you more information about things to avoid and helping you to deal with the situation as it happens. Other than that, knowing a language will allow you to increase your business connections as you travel, meet more relevant people, tap into business opportunities, conferences, and so on. This is something that you also want to take into account. Needless to say that knowing a language, and this is one more benefit, is a sign of respect for the people you interact with. So when people see that you took the time to learn their language, they will like you more, or they will say, wow, this is someone that actually took the time and spent an effort on knowing a few words. So I totally recommend at least getting to this level wherever you visit. And one of the, let's say, the last advantage that I can think of, that learning a new language is a process that keeps your brain active. And this is something that you want to do. you want to maintain your brain by constantly learning, and learning a language is kind of a great way of doing it. Some researchers also show that it actually affects positively your brain as you are learning more and more languages. Okay, so now that you're totally convinced and highly motivated, let's talk a little bit about how much should you invest, how much time and money should you invest into learning a language, and more than that, also about the topic about how to decide which language you want to learn. So I think that your efforts in general to learn a new language will probably not succeed unless you decide in advance on the level you want to reach and the resources you want to spend. And by resources, I'm talking about money and time. So basically, what I recommend is as following. Wherever you go, do know the basic few words. For example, hello and thank you. We discussed this before. This is a sign of respect, and it's the minimum you can do if you go to a new place. In my case, I have to say, I always decide how far I want to get by learning the language before I start. So usually I do either of the two. Either I know the basics, which are hello, thank you, and a little bit more, or I take it super seriously and I actually try to add it to my portfolio of the languages that I speak, which means to kind of reach full proficiency. However, this is my case, and there are many people that settle on kind of a basic or intermediate level, which is also good. But I think that you should make the decision based on a few criteria that are relevant to you, and I'm going to discuss them. So how much time and money should you put into a language, and should you even start learning it? Those are the considerations that come into play. The first one is that the more people and countries speak the language you want to study, the better. This will highly motivate you to learn because, for example, if you're learning Spanish and you know that Spanish is spoken in Spain and in about 20 more countries in South America and Central America, and now in the USA as well, you can really be motivated to study this language because you're going to use it a lot. Even if not now, in the future, for sure, you're going to travel to one of those 20 countries. So it simply makes so much sense to study a language which is prevalent in many, many countries, or that is spoken in a very big country. For example, English, of course, comes to mind. It's like a super example of the most important language out there. But other than that, Spanish, because there are so many countries, and also Chinese, because it's a huge country that is becoming more and more important. So investing time in Chinese, Arabic comes into play as well, because there are many countries that speak Arabic, and so on and so on, and also Russian. So I'm learning Russian because basically it is spoken in Russia, in the Ukraine, and a few other countries, Belarus, so it's pretty cool. Now, one more thing to take a consideration to take into account is the more you like the language. So learning a language is a difficult process. It does take some time. It takes effort as well. And if you don't like the language, or it wasn't always your dream, or you don't connect to the sound of the language and its structure, it's very difficult to learn a language. So other than the, let's say, materialistic benefits of how many people are speaking the language, you also want to connect to the language and feel like you enjoy speaking it. For example, one of my next projects is going to be Italian because I like the sound of it, or maybe French as well. I have to say that I didn't start learning those languages yet because only one country or a few countries are speaking it. So I'm always putting more, let's say, consideration to how much I can utilize the language. But loving the language that you speak, and for example, I really like Spanish and Arabic, is important, and it's going to give you a nice push. One more consideration to take into account is that you should invest more or think about starting learning a language the more you are connected to the country where they speak the language. So if you have business connections, family connections, and so on and so on, it makes a lot of sense to invest the effort into learning the language. Let's say you get married in Russia. Although you don't live in Russia, it makes a lot of sense to learn Russian because you have those family ties, or if you have most of your business in China, the same. One more consideration to take into account is that the more the level of people in speaking English in the country where you travel is lower, it's worthwhile learning the language and will give you a lot of motivation. For example, I can see it with the Russian. So the level of English in Russian-speaking countries is not high, which gives you a lot of motivation to learn Russian, because if not, you're simply going to be stuck while traveling, moving from one place to another, speaking to some people, and so on and so on. An opposite experience was actually in Berlin when I stayed there for 3 months. I did want to learn German, but since everyone in Berlin spoke English, it made it kind of useless for me. So I just stopped. So the idea is that the more the local population cannot communicate in a language that you already know, the better it is to learn a language. Now, one more thing to take into account is that the more that you know similar languages, the better it is to also learn a language. The idea over here is that if you already know Spanish and you want to learn Italian, it's going to be so much easier because those are two languages that are well connected. So you're going to simply advance a lot faster. So this is another thing you want to take into consideration. One more thing to take into consideration when you pick the next language to study is the more easy it is to learn it. So basically, languages vary a lot in difficulty. For example, the Hungarian language is very, very difficult to study, while Spanish is relatively easy. So if you do embark on the journey of learning a new language, do check in advance how difficult it is. Okay, let's move on to some general tips on the topic of learning a new language. So what I would say is the following. First of all, I recommend to only study one language at a time. So focus only on one language. And what I do is basically now, for example, I'm learning Russian. So I'm trying not to mix it with other languages actively. I just keep all the other languages that I know or try to study on maintenance mode, which is the bare minimum that will allow me not to forget them while focusing all my time and efforts on Russian. I've tried to study two languages in the same time, and it can get really, really confusing. You actually change words of each one to another, and totally not recommend it. One more general tip that I found very helpful is to incorporate the language that you study in your life, in the natural flow of your life. This is critical. To do that, you need to reach a level that is above basic. But once you're in a level above basic, try to incorporate it into your life. And that means that you can have friends. Try to make more friends that are speaking the language that you're studying and probably don't know or don't speak well the language that you speak, which will be incredibly helpful. And one more thing that you can do is maybe incorporate the new languages that you study into your work as well, or business. For example, in Lingolearn, my language school, once I studied Spanish, we started teaching Spanish as well. So it connected me to an activity that allowed me to also get in touch with the language. Now, other tip I can, and the idea over here before we move on, is that you have to find really creative ways into making the language be part of your life once you have the basic. This is difficult. It takes some time, but it is totally worth it, and it allows you to maintain the language and not to forget it. One more thing I recommend when you learn a new language is to focus on what's important in the beginning. Don't be a perfectionist. So you only want to know the critical grammar. Leave the other messy grammar for after. It's enough that you are understood. You want to focus on words that help you as you travel. For example, means of transportation. If you're a vegetarian, food, and so on and so on. Don't go deep on vocabulary. Start with using the most common vocabulary that you're going to use all the time. And this will allow you to basically practice all the time and keep on increasing instead of trying to learn everything in one time, which doesn't make sense. So again, study and focus on what you need on your daily life as you travel. And what I usually do is I put everything that I learn, which is important, in a OneNote list that I have. So every time I have a new word or a new grammatical structure that is very, very common, I write it down in a language list that I go over, practice, you know, refresh and update all the time. And that's something that I do also when I have a word missing, that I keep on want to know, okay, how do I say a train? So, or how do I say to buy? So I just think of the words that I most need in my daily life and I insert them in the list and repeat it time after time. And the last tip I have for you is don't be shy. Use every chance that you have while you travel to practice the new language that you study. Sometimes people are gonna, you know, make fun of you, and that's totally okay. For example, in Peru, when I was traveling, I went into a pharmacy and I was asking for soap, and I didn't remember how to say soap. So because English and Spanish is connected, I asked for sopa, which is in Spanish soup. So the entire pharmacy was laughing at me, and it was actually very, like, everyone made a big joke and told their friends and so on. And I remember that I had a little bit more ego at this time, that I basically decided on this day that I'm never going to speak Spanish again, which was pretty dramatical decision. But of course, it didn't last long because people didn't speak English there. So one day after, I was back. So the idea over here is let go of your ego, make mistakes, practice all the time. Usually people are super nice about it, but even if they're not and they're making fun of you, do continue. It's the only way to advance. Okay, let's move on to how do you learn and improve a language while you travel in a place? So here are the few things that I've noticed to help practice and study a language as I travel in a place where it's spoken. The first thing is actually to find a private tutor as you travel. If your time is limited and you only have 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day. And this is something that I enjoy doing. I just had 30 lessons of Russian in Minsk, in Belarus, and it was fun. It's also good on the social side of the story. So I totally recommend finding a tutor if you can. One more method to study a language is, especially if you have a little bit more time, is to find a course that is very intense in the place where you stay. Again, just like the tutor, that will also give you a lot of social life. I have to say that I don't do it because of lack of time. If you do it, then it's basically also good to go into a total immersion program, which involves accommodation with a local family. So that's basically for those of you who have a little bit more time and money and take it more seriously. So that's pretty cool. One more thing I recommend as you travel and want to learn a language is to go to a smaller city where the local population does not speak English or your language so well. So the small, for example, in the Ukraine, now in Kiev, it's pretty easy to get by with English. Although some people don't speak it and I get to practice it, but when I went to places like Kherson in the east or Mykolaiv, people don't speak English at all. And then you simply have to use your Russian or whatever language you study. So this is something that you should only do after you reach a basic level, because if not, it's going to be super frustrating and lonely. But once you do, going to a smaller city where English is not spoken makes a lot of sense. One more thing you want to do is to find friends with low level of English. And the idea over here is very, very interesting. Basically, when you meet a new person, you are going to speak the language that both of you are commonly speaking best. So the idea over here is that if you find a friend that doesn't speak such good English, you will be driven into speaking the local language, and it will give you an amazing boost, bigger than everything I mentioned before, if you have a good friend. So maybe it's worthwhile to go over the basics, get to a level that you can actually communicate with people, find the people who don't speak good English, and then you're in for an amazing boost. needless to say that the best way of learning a new language is by having a relationship, a romantic relationship with someone that speaks the local language. Again, in this case, do not look at how skillful, how fun the person is, how beautiful they are. Only think about, can they speak with me in the language that I want to speak with them? And the idea is as following. When you're in a relationship, you really improve your language skill in amazing ways. Because, you know how it is. Trying to figure out ways of explaining why you messed up is something that you get a lot of boost from. So again, finding a relationship is basically the total immersion plan that you need to learning a language. And of course, if it's something that is serious, then even, the better, you found a great person as well. And this connects to the point of actually having interactions with people that you wouldn't have if you wouldn't speak their language. A lot of people found the love of their life only because they spoke or learn a new language. So it's worthwhile to take this into consideration. Okay, moving on to how do you start studying a language remotely, even before you arrive to the destination where you're going to travel? And in this case, also after you leave, what do you do basically to maintain the level that you reached while traveling? So over here, it's important to say that each of us is totally different. And I noticed this also because I'm in the field of teaching languages with my school, with Lingolearn. And each one of us is totally different. There is not one winner strategy or method to study a language. For example, I really enjoy learning languages by listening to audio cassettes. Other people are learning a language only by reading. Others prefer writing and chatting, and others prefer speaking. So you should be aware and try to understand what is it that is the best way for you to learn in general, and then adjust your language learning process to this. Now, on the topic of learning a language before you travel to a place, again, you should be extra motivated to learn the basic of a language if you take it seriously and you decided that you want to study it before you arrive. It makes a lot more sense arriving with knowledge, because if you're arriving without the knowledge and you just start learning the basics as you stay in the place, being in the place gives you absolutely no boost because you can't communicate at all, and you're losing time that you could have actually practiced what you already know and your prior knowledge. So it makes so much sense to study a language before you go traveling to a place if it is that you decided that you want to know more than the basic. And now let's talk a little bit about the methods that I've been using to learn languages remotely before I arrive to a place, or to maintain my knowledge after I left the place. The first thing I do, as I mentioned before, and what I enjoy the most, and I have to be honest here, I have an online language school, but I actually prefer to learn and maintain a language by listening to audio cassettes and audio tapes. So I recommend two things over here. One of them is Pimsleur. I'm going to put it in the show notes of this episode. And the other is 50 Languages, which is a little bit lower quality than Pimsleur, but free. So I use those two resources to study the languages that I travel in the countries I travel to, and I totally recommend it if you're the person that likes studying by listening. By the way, since you're listening to this podcast, this is probably your best way, because people who like listening to podcasts enjoy also studying by listening. And yeah, and thanks for listening to the podcast. Since we have no reviews, you're probably the only one. So it's only you there. So thank you. Let's move on to another method of learning a language, which is basically doing drills and practices with applications. So I recommend Duolingo for that. Duolingo is for free, an application for free that you can use to practice a language with reels and online online exercises. Pretty cool product, and there are lots of similar products out there as well that I'm trying as well. One more method to learn a language before you travel to a country is downloading podcasts. So you're already listening to this podcast. You probably like podcasts. Just go to the search on iTunes or whatever you use and try to find Learn Russian, for example, and you're going to receive a lot of cool results. So recommended. Another way of learning a language is using sites that have teachers that are a little bit not that pricey. One that comes to mind is iTalkI. It's pretty good and cheap program, so I heard, for lessons in many, many languages. So that's another way to study a language. And one more way, and over here I'm doing a shameless plug of my product, is taking it a little bit more seriously and actually book a program with an online school, you know, with a package of lessons, designated teacher, learning materials, virtual classroom. And that's what we have in lingolearn.com. Over here, this is basically, I think that the biggest benefit of going on a program like this, which is more expensive and a little bit more serious, is mainly due to the commitment it creates. So basically, you spent the money and you don't want to lose it. So it pushes you into scheduling more and more lessons with a teacher. In general, I do recommend having an online teacher because it simply creates some kind of a commitment to another party that helps you be held accountable to the process of learning a language. So those are the methods that I use, and I totally know that there are a lot more. So again, you have to do your own research as well. Now, let's move on to the section of how do you maintain and improve a language once you've already reached a good level, and probably after you left the destination. So the idea is you've reached a nice level and you left the destination, so people around you are no longer speaking the language, and the question is, what do you do to maintain your level? So over here, there are a few methods. One of the methods is to keep on using the apps and the tools and services that I mentioned before, because those apps are actually, they can reach pretty advanced level. For example, Duolingo has a lot of lessons. Doing private lessons is also pretty good. So this is something that I recommend. And by the way, I'm doing now private lessons in Arabic. I'm studying Arabic once a week. So although I'm not in a place where people speak Arabic, and although I stopped learning Arabic actively, I still maintain it with one lesson a week, which is pretty cool. One more option to maintain your level of the language is to keep in touch with friends by writing and Skyping them and so on and so on. This is something that I do with Spanish and in Russian. So having a human interaction with your friend, you know, and keeping in touch with them and communicating with them is a great method to maintain your level in the language. One more method that we mentioned before is to incorporate the language in your work or career. For example, now when I hire virtual assistants or team members, for me, it is great if they speak a language which I'm almost fluent in, for example, Spanish. So now I have team members who I speak Spanish with on my daily work as I communicate with team members and assistants. And that's pretty cool. And, you know, you also do something for your business, and you also maintain your knowledge of the language that you speak. So two birds with the same stone, pretty cool. Another method to maintain your level of language is to read some books, subscribe to some newsletters. For example, I have a Feedly RSS feed that goes in Spanish, and I can read and practice a little bit in Spanish. One more way that a lot of people enjoy is to listen to radio and music in the language that you're trying to maintain your level in. And the last way, and most enjoyable probably, is to see some movies. So you have movies, documentaries in the language, YouTube, and so on and so on. So just spend time there and you should be fine. And yeah, that's it for now. I think to conclude this long episode, languages are awesome. you should spend time into improving them. Don't only stay with your native language, it's boring. Technology still cannot cover all the deficits that you're going to have while traveling. So Google Translate is amazing, and there are other tools out there, but to really reach a level that it gives you benefit, you're going to have to study it on your own. And I would just say for digital nomads and long-term travelers, learning languages is one of the most fun things that you can do, one of the most beneficial things as well. It will help you grow as a person as well. So I totally recommend it. And that's basically it for now. So if you want to read the show notes, we're going to put them very shortly on our blog on becomenomad.com. And one more thing to do is basically I'm going to send a newsletter soon with a little bit more deeper updates on my adventures and the place where I stayed. So if you want to keep in touch and get those updated, just subscribe on the newsletter box on Become Nomad. If you can take the time to give us a quick review on iTunes, that would be very much appreciated. And that's basically it for today. Ah, by the way, we have a Twitter account. So it's at Become Nomad on Twitter. So the handle is Become Nomad. So feel free to communicate with us if you have any feedback or comments or whatever. Or you can always leave a comment on the blog. And that's basically it for today. Have an amazing weekend. Go travel somewhere interesting for the weekend. And have fun. Bye-bye.